Turn, please, to the book of Luke.
Luke chapter 13, we'll be reading verses 6 through 9, and in your Scofield Bible, that's page 1094. This is a brief passage, just these four verses, but we will read the verses responsively. Luke 13, verses 6 through 9. May we stand, please, all of us standing for the reading of God's Word. He spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon, and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. And may we pray. Bless now, we pray, dear Father, this service. We're thankful for our church. How good it makes us feel to come here and to be in fellowship with these your people, but what a blessed privilege is ours to hear your word preached. Help us to give it proper attention tonight, and bless our preacher, in Jesus' name, amen.
I want to talk to you tonight on the subject. What is the subject? God has some rights, too. God has some rights, too. And I'm not going to use this passage in the usual way, and I'm not going to use it as dogmatically, with the same fervor that I would normally use it. I'm going to use it lovingly with a sincere admonition to you. And I hope that you'll listen. This way may well save your life. It just may well. It just may. This sermon tonight could mean the difference between your children being orphans or having you rear them. And I'm serious. You know, the truth is, there's a God, and that God means business. And it is He who determines whether you wake up tomorrow morning or not. It is He who decides whether you live to middle age or old age. It is He. Your hands and your future is not primarily in the hands of the medical profession. I certainly thank God for doctors. I have more occasion to than most anybody right now because of the wonderful care that our doctor, Dennis Streeter, has given to our mother. But your future is in the hands of God. He raiseth up kings. He setteth down kings. He often withdraws the breath of life from one of His creatures. And tonight's message, though it will not be as enjoyable, I think, as this morning's, nor will it be as pungent as some you've heard, nor as humorous as some, it well may mean the difference in your dying young. Now, I want to remind you, in the 5th chapter of Acts, a couple died. God allowed a couple, caused a couple to die because of something they did. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, a young man's life was taken at the hand of God. Moses did not live to see the promised land because God decided it's time for Moses to come on to heaven. It is God that holds the narrow thread of life. It is God that controls the beating of your heart and your breast tonight. I'm glad you decided to leave, folks. If you can't behave, I think you made a good choice. If those are my kids, I'll guarantee you that hear from me and any other kids that misbehave in church. There's a God in heaven. And you better know it. And you might have better learn to fear him a little bit and realize that your days are in his hands. And this little story tonight is parabolic, and it tells us a little illustration of the fact that our hands are lives in the hands of God. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. What does it mean? It means that many a person has died young because they dishonored mother and father. There are other things in the Bible to which God promises added years. And there are things in the Bible to which God threatens withdrawal of years. Our Heavenly Father, bless this parable as we look at it and examine its truths tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to approach this parable a little different standpoint tonight. Let me tell you the story. There's a man who owned a vineyard, orchard. And that man had in that orchard a fig tree. And as the scripture teaches us in Luke chapter number 13, we read just a while ago, the man who owned the fig tree planted in his vineyard noticed or went after a year and checked on that fig tree to see if it had any fruit growing. And there was none. The owner went back and came back a year later. Obviously, he had many trees and many projects and business ventures. Didn't have time to work at one tree all the time. He came back to that same tree. He noticed after the second year that that tree was no longer bearing fruit. He did nothing about it because he loved the tree. He did not want to take the life of the tree. But after the third year, he went again. And then he checked the tree, and there was no fruit. Now, the purpose of that tree was not to give shade. The purpose of that tree was not to lend beauty. The purpose of that tree was to bear figs. And so the owner said, I think, he called the dresser of the orchard and said, I want to cut down that tree. And the dresser of the orchard said, give me another year. Let me dig around it and fertilize it. Let me see if I can get the tree to bear fruit. And so the owner of the land, and therefore the owner of the tree, said, okay, I'll give you another year. And the vine dresser said, if I can't make it bear fruit in the next year, then we'll cut it down. Now, the proprietor or the owner of this land and this tree had some rights. You know, we've heard in our generation about the rights of the school teachers. Boys and girls go untaught because school teachers let them do so because they're asking selfishly for more money. Oh, they hide behind the facade. We can't be as good teachers. But what they're doing is they're saying, we want our rights. We've seen the black people in our generation. And I'm not more against black people than white people or chartreuse or maroon people. But I don't care what color you are. You go around trying to get your own rights, you'll be miserable. Because the more rights you get, the more rights you want. The more rights you get, the more rights you realize you don't have. And the more you look at what you don't have, the more you're going to realize you don't have, and misery is going to come. But the black folks have said, we want our rights. If the black people, 25 years ago, would have thought that ever had the rights they have tonight, they wouldn't have believed it. And I still like what George Washington Carver said. And by the way, he's the fella who should have the national holiday in his honor. He said, I'd rather be a black man in the United States of America than to be any other man in any other country in the world. But the black folks have said, we want our rights. And now the Indians are coming along, and they're saying, we got here first, and we want our rights. And the Chicano says, we have our rights, and we want our rights. I heard on the news today a statement from a fellow in Iowa. He said, I haven't decided which one of the Democratic presidential candidates to vote for in the caucuses tomorrow night, because I haven't yet decided which one can do the most for me. That's the American philosophy. And brother, it's a sad, degraded, depraved nation whose citizens vote for a leader on the basis of which one does the most for me. I mean, don't care who's the best leader. No prayer about it. No thought. Who can do the most for our nation? But what does it mean for me? I mean, the woman says, I'll vote for the president who's for equal rights for women. And the Chicano says, I'll vote for the presidential candidate who's for Chicano rights. And the black man says, I'll vote for Jesse Jackson. Because now, if you vote for Jesse Jackson, that's your business. But if you vote for him because he's black, you're just as bad as somebody not voting for him because he's not white. But I mean, we want our rights. I mean, a policeman says, we'll leave the town unprotected till we get our rights. And even the poor, underpaid professional athletes, there's nothing more nauseating than that. Nothing. I mean, I'm only making $300,000 a year. Well, God bless you. We'll take an other's offering for you Wednesday night, Walter. Silliest thing I ever heard of. Paying a fella $1 million a year for playing with a stick and a ball. That's stupid. It's dumb. As far as I'm concerned, I wish the whole mess would disband and all the owners would call the whole thing off, let the guys go to work for a living. Silly. We want our rights. We want more money. We want our rights. And now the poor, underprivileged ghetto dwellers, who are the singers who make television programs and the actors, want some royalty from the home video machine. Because they, too, are living in poverty. Some of those folks are down to 10 Rolls Royces. And they say, we want our rights. And the nurse says, we'll leave the patient. We want our rights. And the whole country is wacky over this thing of my rights. Most miserable folks in the world are the my rights crowd. Do you ever look at that crowd of females, and I may be stretching that a bit, who have these ERA parades? Have you ever looked at their faces? I mean, you know, I've looked at some of them. They may should have men's rights. I want my rights. I want my rights. I want my rights. Colleges. Other day I was reading a college newspaper published with a student. Talking about striking. Boy, if we ever have any striking at Hiles Anderson, there'll be some striking. You don't have any rights except the will of God. That's all you have. Now, tonight, I want to say a few things about God's right. Now, this proprietor had some rights in this matter. In the first place, he had the right of possession. That tree belonged to him. It was his plant
on his property. And he had a perfect right to it, the right of possession. Now, the second thing he had a right to was this. He had a right to expect fruit from that tree. That's why he planted the tree. He didn't plant the tree because the ground under it was cold. He didn't plant the tree because he wanted some shade. If he wanted some shade, he dead sure would have planted a fig tree. He didn't plant it because he wanted a beautiful garden. If he had wanted a beautiful garden, he wouldn't have planted a fig tree. Any child can tell you why he planted this tree. He planted this tree because he wanted some figs. Now, he owned the land. He owned the tree. He had a right to expect figs from that tree. There's a third right he had, and that was this. He had a right to cut it down if it didn't bear fruit. Perfect right. It's his land. It's his tree. Wasn't placed there for beauty. If he wants to cut it down, if it's not doing what it ought to do, he has a right to cut it down. It's his tree. Now, these are his rights. He has a right to ownership. It's him. He has a right to expect fruit because it's his tree, and that's why he put the tree there. And he has a right to cut the tree down if the tree doesn't bear fruit. Now, you better listen to me. Here's the application. God also has some rights. In this story here, the man, the owner, is God. And the tree is you. I didn't say me, I said you. I didn't say us, I said you. The fig tree is you. And the vine dresser is Jesus. Now, if this owner of a tree had some rights, then certainly the God who made the owner of the tree has some rights. You see, God has a right to possess you. You are his, and you live, listen, on his property. And he has a right to possess you. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. And you belong to God. You're his by creation. You're his by redemption. And you belong to God, and you're not your own. Not only do you have a right to possess you because you're his, but God has a right to expect fruit from you. Did you hear me? I said God has a right to expect fruit from you. That's why God saved you. God didn't save you to keep you out of hell. God didn't save you to take you to heaven. God saved you to make you a fruit bearer. We have to quote Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, but doesn't stop there. The next verse says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Why did God create you in Christ? If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Why did God do that? God did it because he wanted you to do good work. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Salvation more than life insurance policy from hell. John 15:16 says, you've not chosen me, but I've chosen you, that ye should bring forth fruit. Now listen to me. If you're not bearing fruit for God today, then you are depriving God of his right. You haven't fulfilled your service for God when you fill up 18 inches or so of a pew on a Sunday morning or a Sunday night. And I'm not in the scolding mood tonight. I'm in the warning mood. I'm in the admonishing mood. I'm in the loving mood of saying, you better watch it, because God owns you. And the God that owns you, just as this man who owned this land and owned this tree possessed that tree, it was his. Even so, this man had a right to expect fruit from the fig tree. And even so, God has a right to expect fruit from you. And number three, if you don't bring forth fruit, God has a right to cut you down if you don't. Now, if a man has a fig tree, and you'll agree, a man has a fig tree, it doesn't bring. Not a single person in this room who had an orchard let a tree continue to fill up ground if it wasn't bringing forth fruit. You wouldn't feed a chicken. Our hen didn't lay, our cow didn't give milk, our mule it wouldn't pull the plow, you wouldn't do it. And God's as smart as you are, and God says, I own you. And God said, I have a right. By the way, this is God talking here. And God says, I have a right to expect fruit from you. And God said, if I don't get it, I have a perfect right to cut you down. Now you listen to me. Many, many a young person dies in teen years because God sees no fruit. Many a young woman is left a widow because God looks at her husband and sees no fruit. Many a child is in an orphanage because God looked down and saw parents that had no fruit. Now, in the name of the name that is above every name, you'd better, for your own sake, listen. I'm not scolding you tonight trying to let you help me build a church. I'm not scolding you trying to let you help me win this area. Tonight, I'm not looking at soul winning from the standpoint of getting folks out of hell. I'm looking at soul winning tonight from the standpoint of you continuing to live. You are His workmanship. You are His. You belong to Him. And God looks down and God says, you're mine. I have a right to own you. I have a right to expect fruit. And I have a right to cut you down if you don't bring fruit. Now, you better listen to me. Many of you moms and dads are going to have little babies that are going to be placed in some orphanage or in the home of a foster parent if you don't get with it and stop and realize that you're God's and God has a God planted you to bring forth fruit. And if you don't bring forth fruit, God has a right to cut you down. And don't you be surprised when it happens. Now, God has given you life. He has put you in His world. He has encompassed you with skies of blue. Over this world, He has scattered clouds in a profusion of glory and gladdened it by the setting of the rising sun, setting and rising of the sun. He has placed over you stars of sparkling diamonds. He has sent floral aroma as a universal altar of incense. He has framed the sky with hills and mountains and sent winds to spread the scent of this altar over the entire world. He has broken the monotony of the earth with trees and has sent us His showers and piped them to us by rivers. He has given us appetites and then has provided their complete satisfaction. He has then made us a part of this great panorama, and He has made you a king with birds and fish and beasts as your subjects. He has made everything on this earth for your enjoyment. Everything is for you. All beasts roam the field for you. All birds fly in the sky for you. All fish swim in the sea for the waters for you. The sun will rise tomorrow morning for you. It'll set tomorrow evening for you, and God will allow it to set. Let His azure blue become emerald islands as the sun sets tomorrow night. It'll be for you. I mean, the grass grows in the meadow for you. And the tree blooms in the spring for you. And the fruit tree bears its fruit for you. And the yellow harvest brings forth its grain for you. And the lakes are for your enjoyment. And the mountains are for your enjoyment. Everything that God has made on the first day, second day, third day, fourth day, fifth day of creation, every bird that flies in the air, every peacock that spreads its wings, every hummingbird that seeks the flower, every bee that seeks the nectar, every crawling creature that crawls on the face of the earth, everything that God has ever made, He's made for you. And God did it for one reason. He loves you, and all God expects in return is that you fulfill your purpose, and that purpose is to bear fruit. And God has a perfect right, if you don't bear fruit, to take you off the scene and cut you down. You know, every once in a while somebody says, I don't understand. The liberals like to talk about this. I mean, the Bible rejectors, the Christ-rejecting preachers, the non-virgin birthers, the non-deity of Christers, Holman, the liberal lane down on Holman Avenue, that crowd, they love to say, God is not a mean God that would punish you. I marvel that a God would punish people. I marvel that a God would keep from punishing people. It's not God's wrath that amazes me, brother. It's God's grace that amazes me. Not God's chastening that amazes me. It's God's mercy that amazes me. I mean, I don't understand why God doesn't just come down and kill a whole bunch of us in America right now. I mean, we profane His name and sell liquor and live on dope and narcotics and take his book out of our schools and take prayer out of our schools and act like heathen, live like heathen, and put Christian folks in jail because they don't want an ungodly socialistic regime to educate their kids. And it's a wonder God doesn't just send a hurricane or an earthquake and let America fall in it now. And it's not the fact that God chastens that amazes me. It's the fact that God puts up with us that amazes me.
So God comes after 1 year. He checks the fig, the tree. He finds no figs.
But God's a compassionate God, merciful, long-suffering. He had a perfect right after that first year to cut it down. Well, you see, with the house, how could God be so wicked as to kill people? Brother, if you're saved, that's not wicked. God's taking you to heaven.
But none of us want to go now. I'm not afraid to die, and I look forward to the holy city. But I've not yet caught the last tear I want to catch yet. And I've not yet tried to comfort the last bereaved person I want to comfort. And I'm not yet trying to piece together yet the last broken life that I want to piece together. I have not seen yet the last sinner saved that I want to see saved. My plans for life and my plans for this church and my plans for our ministries here have not yet been completed. And I do not want to go to heaven yet. I'm not afraid to go to heaven. I don't want to go yet. I've got too many things I want to do. I think it is needful right now for you that I stay. And I want to stay for a while.
So God comes to after 1 year and he sees no figs. He's merciful. He's long-suffering. He goes back. Comes back the second year. I'm talking about you now, not the tree. I'm talking about you. I mean, God does this. God comes to check on you, and God sees no fruit. Second year. And God is merciful, and God is patient, and God is long-suffering. And God comes back after... And by the way, if I'd been saved for 3 years and wasn't bearing fruit yet, I'd be scared sick. I mean that. So, 3 years. God comes back. He checks a fig tree. He finds no fig. So, God says... Or the owner said, I'll cut it down. The vine dresser said, let me have another chance, and that vine dresser is Jesus. Now, I'll make something clear here. Maybe I've been wrong on something. Maybe my emphasis has been wrong. I've always said this vine dresser here represents Jesus, who doesn't want us to be punished. That may be a little of it, because the vine dresser is closer to the tree than the owner is. And Jesus, if you let me say it, is closer identified with us than God the Father is. But it is not the mercy for the tree the vine dresser is seeking. It is fruit from the tree the vine dresser is seeking. You don't have a clash of opinions here. The owner isn't saying, I want fruit. And the vine dresser say, don't mess with the tree. I love the tree if it doesn't bear fruit. No, they're both interested in fruit. The vine dresser just thinks that one more year, there'll be some fruit. So he says, let me dig around it. Let me fertilize it, put some dung around it, and let me see if I can get after a year fruit. If after another year, the fourth year, there's no fruit, cut it down. So God the Father looks at your life tonight. I'm going to ask you a question. Does he see any fruit? I said, does he see any fruit? Does God see fruit in your life? He comes and says, I don't see it. He comes back a year later. I don't see it. He comes back a year later. I don't see it. Okay, I'll cut it down. I'll take you on to heaven. I'll cut your life down. I'll put somebody else in your place. If you're not bearing fruit in your Sunday school class, I'll put somebody else there. If you're not bearing fruit as a deacon, I'll put somebody else there. If you're not bearing fruit as a preacher, I'll put somebody else there. If you're not bearing fruit as a choir member, I'll put somebody else there. If you're not bearing fruit as a school teacher, I'll put somebody else there. And God said, I'll do it. But Jesus comes along and says, Father, give me one more year. Now, Jesus isn't trying to keep you from being punished. He's trying to get you to bear fruit. He is good to you, and he's also in perfect agreement with God the Father. There isn't a difference between them. Both want fruit. Now the question comes, what is fruit? All right, now listen carefully. This may save your life. What is fruit? Fruit in anything is that thing bearing, producing after its own kind. But it's more than that. Hear me. Fruit is that which is anything bearing its own kind, and in its own kind having seed that bears another after his kind. The fruit of the righteous is a what? Tree of life. Doesn't say the fruit of the righteous is another righteous, but a tree of life. What does it mean? The fruit of a Christian is another Christian? Yes, but that's not all. The fruit of a Christian is another fruit-bearing Christian. But it says, you've not chosen me, but I've chosen you. You should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should what? Remain. Now then, what is fruit? Now be careful. What is fruit? Fruit is everything bearing after his kind. The fruit of a peach tree is a peach with a seed in it can bring another tree. The fruit of an oak tree is another oak tree. And the fruit of a pear tree is pears with seed that can bring forth more pears. And the fruit of a corn stalk is corn that can bring forth more corn on more corn stalks. Now, what is it? Okay. Then as a man bearing fruit is bringing forth another man. Now listen to me. All over this nation, I stand to sit on platforms or stand behind pulpits. And you'd be amazed what I see among the men. Here is a big, heavy set. I want you fellows to quit walking around in the church here. And ushers, you see to it they don't back there. All across this nation, I see it. Ushers, I want you to do what I say now. All across this nation, I see it. I'll be standing up preaching, and in will walk a big, masculine-looking father. Walks like a man, looks like a man. Right behind him comes little Junior Milquetoast. I mean, I see it all across this country. Old man walks in like this. And right behind him comes his little boy. I say, that man has not borne fruit. A fruit is reproducing after your kind. Now, if you're a man, you're not bearing fruit unless your boy becomes a man. And some of you dads ought to quit your bowling leagues and quit your motorcycle clubs and go home and get that boy and teach him something, and teach him how to be a man, or God's going to cut you down. If this country needs anything tonight, she needs men. We don't have any men because men, I mean he-men, are not reproducing after their kind, and you're not bearing fruit because the fruit of a man is another man. I see it all across this country. I was up in Alaska the other night. I saw the most amazing thing. I saw this big old guy with a beard, long beard. Had on one of these big Alaskan-looking coats, I don't know what you call them. And his shirt was open, down almost to his belly button. And he needed a lawnmower to mow his chest. Pastor told me that guy had a big hunter, and he walked in. And boy, I'll tell you what, when he walked in, he's like that, you know, where does a 2,000-pound lion sit? And he sits anywhere he wants to sit. And so, and as far as I'm concerned, I wasn't going to cross him. And right behind him came little Junior Ed. You wouldn't believe it. I wanted to walk up and grab that fella. I did not walk up and grab that fella. I wanted to walk up and grab that fella. Bill Harvey said one time, I'd like to have a date again with Liz Taylor. I said, man, did you have a date with Liz Taylor? No, he said, I'd like to once before to have a date with Liz Taylor. But I wanted to grab that man. And I want to say, man, what you been doing? Little sissy panty waist behind you. Doesn't know how to walk like a man, talk like a man, sit like a man, live like a man, act like a man. four more men.
Tragedy, tragedy, tragedy. Most of the men in this room don't spend 5 minutes a week training your boys. If a man is supposed to bring fruit, bring forth more men, then a lady is supposed to bring forth more ladies. I see it all across America. Standing up here, and here walks, here walks in mother. Nice, modest, link skirt. Her Bible under her arm with her purse. Coming to hear the Word of God preached. And here comes little Susie after her with the trademark Levi on her back down low. Looked like she's melted and poured into a pair of pants. Well, you say this is a new age. Yeah, and moms and dads like you made this a new age. We've allowed this country to deteriorate. There are moms in this room tonight who are ladies. You're ladies. You're feminine. But your daughter's about as effeminate as Muhammad Ali. How tragic. How sinful. You're a lady. Bible said you're supposed to bring forth fruit. Now, what kind of fruit? After your kind. That means if you're a worker, you're supposed to bring forth workers. You know, one thing that's destroyed this country is adults saying, I don't want my children to have to do what I did when I was a boy. That's destroyed this country. We'd have a better brand of young people growing up in America if we were in a depression. And kids had to get up, live on a farm, and get up, milk cows, chop wood, build fires, go out in the field, sweat, toil, labor. Dad goes out to the steel mill, works all day in a blast furnace, comes home on a summer night, while Junior shoots baskets in the yard, Dad mows the yard. You failed. Mom washes the dishes while Susie curls up like a kitten on her bed with a magazine in her room. You're a lady, but you're not bringing forth fruit. And God has a right to expect it. He has a perfect right to expect every man in this house who has a boy to turn out a man. And if a lady in this house has a girl, to turn out a lady. And every worker to turn out a worker. And every tither to turn out a tither. And by the way, your children ought to have your convictions. It's fruit. Now, you know where I'm going. And I have to go there because it's Bible. Just as everything bears fruit after its kind, if you're a Christian, you're supposed to bring forth more Christians. Who bring forth more Christians? 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 And I say this tonight, lovingly, kindly, and fearfully. If you're not bringing forth fruit, you're taking a chance of a lifetime. I'll guarantee you there are folks in this room tonight who are only alive because Jesus said to the Father, let me have one more year. There are folks in this room tonight that are not bearing fruit. And you better make... I'm not saying that you're going to have to bring a whole harvest full. And everybody to stay alive doesn't have to walk down this aisle every Sunday, though I wouldn't be against it. And so you ought to do it. And bring a convert down this aisle. But I'll guarantee you one thing. You just go right ahead and never witness to anybody and never tell anybody the gospel story and never try to get anybody saved. Let the folks in your house not even hear you tell them how to be saved. And the folks where you work don't know how to be saved. You don't tell them. And the folks where you go to school don't know how to be saved. And you don't tell them. You just go right ahead and do that. But I'll guarantee you, God's checking you out. And I say it lovingly. You better watch it. You don't have a choice of whether you're a soul winner or not. You don't have a choice of whether you bear fruit or not. The God made you a new creature for good works. God chose you to bring forth fruit that your fruit should remain. And that's just not adults. That's teenage Christians. The Bible said, brother, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And little children can believe on Christ. And teenagers can believe on Christ. And the Bible says that if you
believe on Christ, you're supposed to do the work that he did. And Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. And Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners. It's not a matter of choice. It's a matter of if God lets you live, you've got to bear some fruit. He won't let you live. Now, he'll let you live for a while. But God will not let you cumber up the ground. You know, that's why many churches die. They're not bearing fruit. God gives a church a little while, and they don't bear fruit. God gives them more time. Don't bear fruit. Gives them more time. Don't bear fruit. Jesus comes, says, Father, let me have another year. Let me give them another year. They don't bear fruit. And God says, okay, I'll split the church. I'll cause the church to die. They have to sell the buildings and go out of business or join up with another church somewhere and make one church out of two. Why? God said, I don't want you covering up the ground. I wonder if we could see as God sees. I wonder how many orphans live tonight with just a picture of mommy and daddy. Because mommy and daddy didn't bear fruit. I wonder if we could see as God sees tonight. I wonder how many ladies are rearing their children alone. I said a while ago something that most of you don't believe. There's a God. There's a God. And most of you don't believe it. If you believe there was a God in heaven and that God meant what he said in this parable, that'll take care of your fruit bearing right there. Nobody wants to die. I leaned over to my mother's mouth the other day and put my ear against her lips. And she whispered to me when she thought she was a little afraid. And, well, not afraid, but she said, son, I don't mind dying. Aunt Jimmy's there. Uncle Roy's there. Uncle Basil's there. She had called off a list of a lot of folks that were there. And she said, I don't mind dying. But she said, son, I would rather stay here with you and Erlene. I know Hazel's there. I know Lorene is there. But she said, son, I'd prefer to stay here. And I don't care how close you are to the door, you want to stay. If you really want to stay, you better put some fruit in your life. So when the Heavenly Father comes by to examine it, you'll find fruit. And if you don't, I reckon you better get your house in order. Be sure your insurance is paid up. Be sure you have your children willed to somebody so somebody can rear them in case you're taken. Be sure everybody knows where the insurance policies are located. Because if God be God, he saved you that you might bring forth fruit. And he's been patient with you. But his patience will not always endure. And there comes a time when God's patience wears thin, and finally God's patience wears out. You better listen to me. You better listen to me. And you better think seriously about the 13th chapter of Luke. Our Father,